Go ahead and grab a seat. I think we're going to get started, though. All right. Hello, everybody. Hey, good stuff. So we're going to get started here. I think we're going to move through. So first off, welcome, everybody, to SharePoint Conference, and as well, welcome to Developing SharePoint Workflows with SharePoint Designer 2013 and Visio Pro 2013. I should have made a smaller title, but anyway, so this session here is going to be done by both myself, Sam Chung, and Jonghua Lim. Before we get started here today, though, just wanted to give you, give us an opportunity to do a quick introduction to everyone here, just so that you guys know who your presenters are. So I'll start off. My name is Sam Chung. I'm a program manager within SharePoint Designer. I've been here in Microsoft about 6 years now. Within SharePoint Designer, I worked on a lot of the designer features, including the Visual Designer. Worked on the task actions that are brand new for this release. Along with Jonghua here, we worked on the new project integration. Before this, I was on the project team where I worked on project V1 version of workflow there. And before that, I was on the business side within Microsoft. So I'm going to let Jonghua here introduce himself.
Hi, my name is Jonghua Lim. And as Sam said, I am the program manager in the SharePoint Designer team. And I worked on a SharePoint Designer share and text-based designer, and with Sam, I worked on the project integration and worked some actions in SPD. And before that, I worked for the out-of-the-box workflow. If you are familiar with the out-of-the-box workflows, which are the approval, collect feedback, collect signature, are you aware of that workflows, right? Mm-hmm. I hope you use it and enjoy it a lot, but yeah, I own that features in the last release, which is 2010. And before that, I was a PM for a East Asia-bound workflow solution, which was very complex workflow-based solution. And that's what I have. So,
thank you. All right, so now it's your turn. I just want to have a quick feel of the audience here. How many people here have used SharePoint Designer first? You've used it before, great, so most people here have used it. And how many of you here are developers specifically, where your coding is your main job? Okay, good. So you'll see how inside of the audience, I can see within the audience there's a lot of people who are developers, but at the same time there's not. And the whole point of today's session is that we're going to cater to both sides. Although SharePoint Designer is a developing tool, and at the same time this is a developing session, we really are focused here within SharePoint Designer to really bring down the bar so that pretty much anyone can create workflows within SharePoint Designer. Let's go ahead and get started. I hit the wrong damn thing. So first thing, what are you guys going to learn today from this session? Our goal here today is that by the time you're done, everyone here will be able to quickly and collaboratively, and I'm going to emphasize collaboratively, create workflows using SharePoint Designer and Visio Pro 2013. This is going to be a bit of a review for those here who have taken the other sessions. I'm guessing some of you here have seen Mauricio's session. He had one in the morning. So if you saw the session on workflows in general, you're going to see a bit of review on that stuff today. But in general, we're going to focus a lot on SharePoint Designer itself, and we're going to drill into some of the features. So how are we going to do today's session? What's the agenda look like? We don't actually have too many agenda items. And that's because we're going to focus mostly on the demo today. We have one big, big demo which is going to kind of bring everything together. So, but before we get demo, what is the agenda look like? First, we're going to do a quick recap, like I said before, on the stuff that's happened within SharePoint workflows in 2013. Then we're going to do a high-level overview, like what areas did we invest in for SharePoint Designer 2013. Then we're going to go straight into the demo. Then we're going to do a quick recap and question and answers. Now, we have a question and answer section that we've kind of set aside for 15 minutes and at the end of the session. Now, normally, I do like to make my session a bit more interactive, so if you have questions, feel free to ask it. I know with my memory, I tend to forget things if I wait to the end, but it's a big room, so if you feel intimidated and you don't want to ask, or if I miss your hand or something like that, don't worry, there's time at the end. But if you do want to ask a question, feel free to raise your hand. We'll try and keep an eye out for you. At the same time, if you are going to ask a question, make sure you scream it out. It's a big room. All right, so first thing, what's new in SharePoint 2013 workflows? Now, this is actually a slide that we've taken straight from Mauricio. First thing here, expressiveness, right? Do more with SharePoint Designer and declarative workflows. The whole point behind here is that we've done a lot of work both in SharePoint Center, but also on the back end to really enable a lot of scenarios that you guys may have. In particular, we've enabled flow control so that you guys have, if you guys are aware, we have new stage concepts within both SharePoint Center and in the base workflow concept as well. We've enabled new types of designers. We've got brand new object models. There's a lot easier now to create your own custom workflows. And of course, we're very app friendly now. All right, sorry, connected. Connected is all around the cloud. We have a lot of cloud readiness built into this feature here. There were times in 2010 of workflows, you really couldn't do a lot of stuff that was on the cloud, especially if you want to make custom actions and stuff like that. This is now enabled now. You can pretty much do almost anything that you want that you can do on-prem on the cloud as well. And by being on the cloud, what does that enable us? It means that calling web services is like a first-class citizen to us. It means you can go ahead and make, this is getting back to my custom actions, but how you can make custom actions that are no longer just code-based, but in fact can make custom actions that are more declarative in style, right? And of course, we want predictable execution and more scalability and reliability is built into the infrastructure within SharePoint 2013 workflows. And unbounded. Not sure how many of you guys are aware, but in 2013 of SharePoint, the workflow engine is separate. We've pulled it out from SharePoint. It's a separate server that you install on a different box if you want to. And what that means is that you guys have now the flexibility and ability to go ahead and scale your system as much or as little as you want. It also means you have better reliability when it comes to your workflows in the sense that if your workflow engine or your workflows in specific are behaving badly, it won't affect your SharePoint sites. So let's go ahead and move to the next point. So now what's new in SharePoint Design 2013? We have a lot of features that we made in this release. Now, what are the areas? So in this slide, I'm just going to focus on the areas that we focused in to really improve on. So first thing, workflow infrastructure. This is going back to not only the stuff that I said before about how we've made the back end better, but also the concept of stages is now incorporated within workflows directly, within all 2013 workflows that you create. We've made it better for actions, scalability, how you can create your own custom actions a lot easier now, and how those show up within SharePoint Designer. The workflow designers themselves, we've improved a lot within text-based designer that you've had since before, and we've actually extended it out. We've added a new design service. Some of you have probably already seen it. It's a great new way to give you an opportunity to express your workflows in a totally different way, and at the same time, brings in that collaboration that we're talking about here. And finally, workflow actions. We have a lot of actions that we created for you guys this release. The whole point of this release wasn't exactly to do parity with the old version. The whole purpose of this release was to create scenarios and enable scenarios that we thought would be most important to you guys this release. So, that's pretty much the slides that I'm going to do in the beginning. That's really quick and easy, right? Now, we're going to go straight into the demo. But before we do the demo, it's a big demo. It's a long demo, so I want to kind of set it up for you guys so you know what's happening. So in this demo, what we're going to do is we've created this fake company, Contoso Leisure. You guys are all part of it. And inside of Contoso Leisure, what we do is that we enable our customers to go onto our site and make reservations or requests to take part in certain events. And these are leisure events like horseback riding, clay shooting, skydiving, fishing, whatever, right? So customers will go onto our site and they're going to make requests to take part in an event. And when they go on our site and create a new event, what that's going to do is that's going to start a workflow. And this first thing that this workflow is going to do, it's going to put a request on an event coordinator to say, hey, a customer has made an event request. Are you okay with this? Next, if the event coordinator says no and denies the task, rejects the task, we'll go into this reject the stage and the workflow, send an email off to the customer saying, you know, you can't take part, you can't have fun. Other than that, if the coordinator actually says, yes, the event is okay, we'll go off into this approved stage. In this approved stage, it's actually a little bit different. What we're doing is we're going to put the workflow to sleep. We're going to make the workflow go to sleep and wait 5 days before the event actually takes place. Once it's 5 days before the event takes place, what we do is we wake back up, and this is where we call into a web service. If For those of you who've seen Mauricio's demo, this is going to be similar to what he did, where we actually call into a weather web service, get the 5-day forecast, put it into a HTML table. After that, we go into the send reminder email, and inside of this stage, what we're going to do is we're actually going to call into Bing next, and inside of Bing, we're going to get the driving directions from the customer's house to the event location, take that, put it also in an HTML table, and take that big HTML table that we got, put it in an email, send it off to the customer, and then end it in a customer notified stage. Overall, it's a small workflow, it's a simple workflow, but inside of this workflow, we're going to show you a lot of the new features that we created and show you the power of workflow that we've really enabled in 2013. All right, so again, it's a big flow, and it's a big demo. As such, Donghua and I will actually be splitting this up. Him and I will be doing this demo together. So, quicker, and remember, the whole point of this demo, this session, is to show collaborativeness, how you can work together. It's also part of what we've, in addition to the brand new features that we've incorporated. So Donghua and I, we're going to work together. I'm going to start it off. I'm going to be a business administrator. I'm going to create a process. I'm going to outline the diagram in terms of how the process should look like. Then Donghua will play the role of the SharePoint administrator, who will take that outline, that diagram that I created, and he'll flush out a workflow from it. Once we've done that, we're going to switch to a runtime experience where you'll see the runtime of how that workflow works. During that time, we're going to show an approval, how approvals now work within 2013. We're going to go back, finish off the runtime, and then at the end, Donghua is going to show you a great way with the features that we've created, you can actually extend not just going outside of workflows and stuff like that, but how you can create reporting as well. Now, this is reporting on your workflow definition, not talking about reporting on your workflow instances that are running. But in any case, it helps you in a totally different kind of scenario outside of just workflow development. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and get started on this one. Perfect. So I remember I'm taking the role of the business administrator, and as a business administrator, I am more familiar with Visio. I don't want to live in SharePoint designer world just yet. I'm not familiar with it. I understand Visio, though, since I'm a process manager. So I'm going to start off here in Visio 2013 Pro. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to actually bring up a new SharePoint 2013 diagram. Now, template. So I can do that in a couple ways. I can actually scroll down, find it down here. It's right down here if I want to. Or I can search for it, or I can go to flowcharts and find it there. But in this case, since I have it right here, I'm going to go ahead and select it. I like metrics. I'm Canadian, sorry. So we're inside the metric system here. So we're inside the diagram here. And the first thing you're going to notice is that we have a stage. This is really important. In SharePoint Designer 2013, all workflows are stage-based. That's why we start off with a stage right from the front and center. All actions that you have within your workflow must happen inside of a stage. Stages are at the base level, and stages allow you then to actually start creating your workflows in a manner that actually more closely resemble whatever process you guys may have, right? So it's quick and easy inside of Visio. For those of you who've used the Visio 14, you'll be aware that it's the same concept. You have all your actions available on the left side. You have conditions and components. But, you know, if I have an action, I just want to do calculation. Click and drag, drop it in there, and that's it, right? Simple and easy, right? But remember, I'm a business process manager. I don't know what actions need to go inside of my workflow. If I did, I wouldn't have a need for a SharePoint administrator right now. So I'm going to switch out of this. I don't understand this too well, so I'm going to go to a different view. Actually, not a different view. I'm going to try a different diagram. So what I did is I clicked the Process tab, and there's a Stage Outline button that I have right here. This button, by the way, also exists within SharePoint Designer. So what I'm about to show you, you can also do within SharePoint Designer. Clicking on this button, what it does is that it creates a brand new tab at the bottom. Take note here, there was just a page one before. Now we have a default stage outline tab. What we've done is we generated dynamically a stage view, a stage diagram of your workflow. Now, my workflow before only had one stage in it, which is why we have just this one guy here. But if it had multiple stages, you would have obviously seen many more stages here. And this is much easier to see at a process level what's going on. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to start flushing out my workflow. So my process, more or less, actually. So I remember the first stage. Can you see that okay? Zoom in a bit. Now, the first stage of my workflow was this request approval for event. Right? Next thing I needed was a condition to see if it was approved or not. For that, I'm just going to grab our any if any value. Yeah? Just grab this condition.
and is event approved. Simple and easy. I want to go ahead and go back to components, grab a few more stages. I'm going to quickly outline this workflow. So this is approved. This one here was our get weather info. This one here was our send reminder. And finally, we had one last stage, which was customer notified. All right. Now, I'm going to connect it all up. Remember, it's still Visio, so it's very easy to do this. Click and drag, click and drag, click and drag, click and drag. My diagram is pretty much all done here. But there's still one thing I need to do, which was that reject this stage, if you remember. The approver does not approve it, then I have to send it to reject this stage. Now, I can go ahead and drag another simplified another stage if I want to right here, but remember, there's still Visio. So I want to show you how, as a Visio person, I can use whatever shape I want to. It doesn't matter. It's still Visio. So instead of using one of our SharePoint 2013 workflow shapes, I'm going to go out here, more shapes. And I know I have a shape that I like over here in the workflow steps. There's this nice little rejected guy, and I'm going to bring him over because I like using him. I understand him better. And I'm going to set him as... this is no if he rejects it, right? This is totally legitimate. It's a Visio diagram. I can do whatever I want within it. We haven't railed the experience within Visio. Visio is still the same thing that you've always known. If you want to format this anywhere else you want to, you can go ahead and do so. And we're not going to stop you. We don't want to stop you. We want to encourage you to use Visio as you normally did. Now remember, I'm going to pretty much give this exact diagram to my SharePoint administrator. Before I do that, though, I may want to add some more details regarding the diagram, regarding the process, because he may not be able to understand everything from just the title of the stage. In which case, I'm going to go ahead and add stuff like, where is this? Sorry, right here, like callouts. Right, very easy. Very simple. I can do whatever I want within it, just like this, and I can do that on all my other stages, right? But for the sake of time, I'm not going to, obviously. But anyways, I'm done. This is my process. Took me less than a few minutes. Would have actually been a lot quicker if I wasn't talking as much. But in any case, it's very easy now. I've created my work, my process, and all I have to do now is just save it out. I'm going to pop it on my desktop. I've saved my workflow. I'm going to send it now to my SharePoint administrator. And the way I do that is, I can do it multiple ways, but quick and easy ways, just share it directly from Visio, an email, send it as an attachment. Oh, here it is. See how it brings up Outlook. I'm going to send it off to Garth, who's my SharePoint administrator. Done. Big thing to take note of here. I sent him the Visio file directly. I did not send an intermediate file. For those of you who have played with 14 version of this, you know that you had to export it out as a VWI file. From there, the guy would import it, SharePoint administrator would import it back in, and you'd have this intermediate step of import-export, right? That's no longer the case in 2013 at all. You use the exact same Visio file that the Visio user is using within SharePoint Designer as well. All of your workflow information is stored inside of that Visio file. We don't have separate files and all that, because in fact, for those of you who were, we had separate files that stored the Visio diagram and the workflow information. That's no longer the case. We've componentized the entire workflow, broken up into the XML components, and popped it into all of the different shapes here. So I've sent it out. I'm not going to pass it off to Zhenghua, who's going to show you the SharePoint administrator side in terms of what he does with that diagram.
Thank you. So, thank you for the great slide and demo, Sam, so far. And I'd like to start with some questions. So how many of you use SPD beforehand? And how many of you are actually site administrator? Quite many. And so how many of you are doing the same thing, site administrator, and at the same time doing workflow creation and authoring? So, gentlemen, yeah. So I'm very happy to see a lot of people here, actually the right audience today. So I'd like to start with site first. And my demo will take about 25 minutes, but we have a connectivity issue these days, and the time might vary depending on how fast I can speak English, right? I try my best. So, oh. Sorry. Yeah, this is the site. It is always very good practice and best practice to get familiar with the site and list you are creating workflow on. So this is the site we are using today. We have ContourSolidus site, as you see, and we have several lists that represent different leisure activities. And we will use horseback riding lessons today. And it has some list columns, title, horseback riding location, date, age, and number of people you are coming together for this lesson, and home address to show you the map from your home to the location, and a workflow status column, which shows the stage you are in terms of the runtime behavior. So with these list columns and structures in mind, I'd like to start creating a workflow. As Sam said, he sent a video diagram to me in a VSDS file format. So I found it in my inbox here. You need to first download it to your desktop. And the next thing you need to do is to open SPD and connect to the site and go to the workflow menu. Then you will find a ribbon button, import from video. If you expand it, it has two options, the classic mode and the new mode. As all we know that Sam created a new diagram based on this new platform. We choose it and open the right VSDX file Sam sent to me. And it will lead you to the create workflow dialog as this one. And you can type in the workflow name as you want. And we have a workflow type option. We provide several options, starting from list workflow, site workflow, and reusable workflow. And if you connect to a project site, we also provide project workflow in this dropdown. And we will use list workflow. And the site, the list drop box, you need to use the horseback riding lessons I showed you before. And click OK will lead you to a visual diagram, which looks just like what Sam showed you before. This is a video controller embedded in SPD, which is a very great thing in this new release. And if you have noticed, everything is preserved, and everything is the same as what Sam showed you. And in real situation, you might have to sit down with your business analyst to understand the requirement and what you need to do to implement this workflow, right? And in this demo, let's have some time to look at the flow and take some time to read through the comment that Sam sent to me. And this is a very simple workflow, so I don't need to talk to the business analyst at all. By looking at this diagram alone, I can understand everything in a very easy way. And after looking at the comments, I totally understand what it means, and I'd like to create the workflow right away. The next thing you need to do is to create a workflow outline diagram, which allows you to actually add actions and conditions into this diagram. So try. Boom, we have issues now. Actually, we have two layers of validation logic. The first layer of the validation logic is called shape level validation. These issues are found during the shape level validation. It checks if the shape and connector and connections are valid, and it starts from the start to the end. And we found two issues here. And the other layer of validation is called JAML level validation, which will be performed when you try to publish a workflow or try to check for errors using these two buttons on the left top location. Now that you know that you have two issues, this is time to you to fix them, right? So if you click one by one, it will indicate the shape or connector that has the error width. So I'd like to go to fix the first issue here. If you look at the issues, it says the shape is invalid. This shape was allowed in the visual diagram, but if you look at it and open it and try to transition to the workflow logic, it checks the validation and it is not valid in this workflow diagram. So you need to replace this one with the valid shape, which is simple stage in this case. After you rename it to rejected, you think you are done with the first issues, right? And you go to the second issue, which says this connector should be labeled yes or no. You already know that the no was used here, so you can guess that this is the yes node. You just right-click the connector, and we provide the right and proper options for you. Now, you think you are done with the fixing issues, right? And retry to create workflow outlines. Boom. Yes, we successfully transitioned to the workflow dialog now. As we don't have issues now, I'd like to hide the issues pane first. And to look at it better, I'd like to zoom out a bit. And then you will notice that the flows are well preserved. The flows are kept intact. But the shape, the simple stage shape is replaced with a container stage shape so that you can add actions and conditions within the stage container. If you look at the left-hand side here, we provide some stencils, action stencils, condition stencils, and container stencils. These stencils are available in the visual diagram Sam showed you before. But these stencils available on the SPD side is different because we create the stencils on the fly, meaning that we only provide the actions and conditions that are available for this type of workflow. As I showed you, we chose list type workflow, right? So we only show actions and conditions that are available and useful for the list type workflow. And if you have some custom actions defined in the .actions profile, we also show them in these stencils and create the stencils on the fly. And if you are interested in the custom action story, we have a session tomorrow at 5 p.m., which will be done by our colleague PM of SPD, so don't miss that session. And as we get familiar with the stencils, I'd like to go and complete the first stage, which is about assigning tasks to the event coordinator group. What I need to do is to go to action stencils and scrolling down the stencils and trying to find some task actions. As a matter of fact, we have two task actions in this release, but I'd like to use the complex one, which is the better fit for this scenario and which also allows you to understand the easier one naturally. So I'd like to go to the right task action, which is start a task process action. If you drag in and drop in onto the connector within the stage container, it just added. And if you zoom it up a little bit, you can notice a new UI here. We introduced a new UI called action tag, which allows you to set parameters for this action. So basically, what you can do in this visual designer, in terms of the power of an expression, it is the same with this visual designer and in the text-based designer. You can do everything in here, end-to-end, literally, up to publishing the workflow. So it's a very great feature in this release. So the action tag actually show you two parameters for this action. These two parameters are called in-sentence parameters, which are displayed as links when you see this action in sentence-based designer or text-based designer. So I'd like to go set the first parameter for you. If you click the in-sentence parameter, it will launch the corresponding designer type at this one. If the in-sentence parameter has a very basic designer type, such as text box, we will launch a dialog called top-level property grid, which allows you to set the simple parameters. In this task action, we have a corresponding designer type as this one, and I'd like to fill in one by one for you. As Sam said, we need to task actions to the event coordinator group, and I want the task to be assigned in parallel fashion, and I can set the task title, event was created. And if you want, you can set the description for this task. And I'd like to set the due date to the date of the event. So afterward, if you make a decision afterwards, it doesn't make sense because the lesson already finished. So I'd like to set it to the due date. And we have additional three groups of task options here. I'd like to go with the first one. In the first option, allows you to set some parameters. The first parameter allows you to choose between group tasks versus a single multiple tasks to every member within the group. In our scenario, I'd like to turn it on to assign multiple tasks to every member within the group. In the second option allows you to go with synchronous execution versus asynchronous execution. I want this task action to wait for the approval from the task assignees. So I'd like to turn this parameter on for this scenario. And completion criteria provide four options. We provide very frequently used scenario options. So in our case, I'd like to go to the second one, which is the first response, which means in your group, if they have three persons, any one of the persons approve the first task, then the decision will be respected. And the associated item will be kept as the default value, which is current item. And in the email option, we provide two kinds of emails. The first one is task creation email. And if you open task email editor, we provide an out-of-the-box task content. But if you want, you can use lookup and you can type in every sentence you want to provide the additional information to the task creator. I will keep the out-of-the-box task content. And if you want, you can define and use a overdue task email as I did for the task creation email. In the last but not least option is very important. This allows you to expand your scenario much more. We provide an out-of-the-box task content type, which is workflow task, and out-of-the-box outcome field, which is task outcome, which provide two options, approved or rejected. But if you want, and if your scenario want, you can define a custom content type like this one, and you can also provide a custom task outcome like this one. And it can provide multiple different set of task outcomes. You can expand the scenario as much as you can and as much as you want. We will keep the default out-of-the-box content type for this scenario because we don't need additional outcome values. Now I just finished the first stage, which is one of the most complex stage in this workflow. As such, you can add actions and conditions into the stages and complete the whole process and logics. And you can publish the workflow by clicking the publish button. But I'd like to show you some features that is supported in the task-based designer. I'm not intentionally going to the task-based designer because I'm the owner of the task-based designer, but actually it has some interesting features for you. So I'd like to go to the task-based designer and show you more features. If you go click views and select text-based designer, text-based designer will be shown. And if you are familiar with the previous version of SPD, the top level container was tab, but as Sam said, we introduced stage concept as the first and topmost container. If you look at the stage container, it has two sections. The first section is logic section. You can add logics into it, and you can compose the logic within. And the other section is transition section right here. If you have a simple flow from your stage to the next stage, then it will have just one go to action like this one. If you have a complex branch between stages, it can have multiple conditions with multiple go to actions like this one. So I'd like to complete this first stage and first transition section. The task action actually stores the task outcome into outcome variable. So I'd like to reference the outcome variable. If you choose the outcome, we provide the drop-down UI for the proper options you can choose from. So you can choose approve to make it sense, right? And you've finished the first stage. You need to finish the second stage here, which are supposed to wait until 5 days before the event, right? But I'd like to introduce this logic later on with the pre-created workflows. And I'd like to go to the third stage, which is get weather information, which is the second most important action and logics for this demo. As Sam said, we will use a HTTP web service, REST-ified web service, in this stage. And to do that, we introduced a new action called HTTP web service. If you add it, it has some parameters to fill in, and the most important parameter to fill in is the first one, where you can add the URL of the web service. And if you see the demo from Mauricio, it might be a little bit similar, but you can add the weather online web service here. And we also provide some HTTP method, but in this web service action, we need to use HTTP GET method. And this web service will return a JSON type response, which needs to be stored in this action. The response will be stored in this response content parameter. And to do that, you need to create a dictionary type variable. Dictionary type variable is very important. It can be used for the web service action, and it can also be used for multiple collection of data and into one, just one variable. So it is very useful dictionary type, and it is introduced in this new release. So I will store it in web service response dictionary. And now that you've finished calling the web service, the next thing you need to do is to actually get the data from the response, right? To do that, we introduced a new action called get item from a dictionary. You need to set the dictionary parameter to the web service response, right? And what you need to do is to know the path to the right data you want to fetch from. To do that, you need to know the response first. If you look at the response, JSON type response in a plain view, it looks quite complicated. A lot of branches, brackets, and apostrophes, right? But if you look at it in a tool like JSON Viewer, actually there are a lot of JSON viewers out there available. Even there is an in-browser viewer at the same time. So if you look at it in the JSON Viewer, you can understand the structure very easily. It has root node data. Under it, it has weather, which has actually 5 arrays for your 5 days forecast. And if you look at the forecast for today, it has some interesting data. In our demo, we will use the max Celsius temperature, as Sam is Canadian and I'm Korean, we use Celsius. And we will use Celsius minimum, And we also will use a description data and also use the icon URL data, starting from the date. As you know, the path is data on the weather, the first array, and date. You can just go back to SPD and set it to the right path, data, right? You can notice that the array can be expressed in the parentheses branch. And I will store it in a new string type variable, string. The next thing you need to do is, actually we will fetch 4 more data, right? So you need to do, when you use the previous SPD, you need to do add 4 more actions, one by one your hand, and set the path and parameters one by one yourself. But we enabled copy and paste feature in the text-based designer. So you just copy one action and paste it 4 times, which will allow you to save a lot of time for you. And you just need to change the last part of the path. Let's assume you completed this get item action. Then the next thing you need to do might be, can you guess? You need to get 5 days forecast, right? So which means you can iterate 5 times. And to do that, we actually introduced a new container named loop. We have 2 loop containers, and we will use this first one and set it to iterate 5 times for 5 days forecast. And just you need to select multiple actions and move it to the container. That's all what you need to do. And thank you. From now on, I'd like to change my view to a pre-created workflow and explain the rest of the workflow and explain something more than this one. So I'd like to open it. And as I said, the first stage is already created for you. It's the same. And in the second stage, you are supposed to wait until 5 days before the event, right? So you need to use add date to time action. And you can set -5. And you can set parameters to the date of the event to calculate the 5 days before the event. And then you just need to pause until that date and wake up to go to the next stage, which is get weather information stage. In the get weather information stage, it is almost the same from what you see, but the difference is these 2 variables. We actually use a string variable to compose the HTML table to be used in the reminder mail later stages. And the second variable, which is index, is used to get the right path in this action. I used 0 in the previous example, but as you loop 5 times, you should get the right path for your web service. So we use the index here. And that's almost everything. And we need to send email to the as a reminder mail, right? So I added email action. In the email action, we send the mail to the customer. And I CC'd it to the event coordinator. You can give it a right name. And we will provide information about date, number of people, the map information from your home to the location, and the table for the weather information. Now that we're almost done, we have 2 stages left. These are very straightforward. We just log something and send the rejection email if it is rejected. And now I'm done with creating a workflow. What I need to do next is to set some parameters for this workflow. You need to go to the workflow summary page, and then there is a new option here. As I said, we enabled stage concept, and chances are that stage will have some meaningful name with it. If you did it, then this option is very useful. It will allow you to show the stage name to the workflow status column. I will show you later. And I'd like to run this workflow manually, and I want this workflow to start on item creation and also item change. And I'd like to publish this workflow. Normally, this workflow takes 25 seconds to be published because we, as I said before, we have some layers of validation, and we try to make sure that the server understands the validation and XAML correctly. Oh, this is much faster than in Korea, right? Thank you. And now I'd like to change my role to the customer and show you the runtime behavior from now on. As a customer, I need to go to the leisure site, right? And as I look at the promoted lessons here, I found that horseback riding lessons is very good. I'm very interested in these lessons. So just go into it and try to create a new reservation for it. And if you have guests, we are actually coming from Korea, which is known for the Gangnam style, right? So actually my office is Gangnam style and Sam is living in Gangnam area.
We're not doing it. That's what you tell, that's what you guys are expecting.
So if you want to learn some native dancing.
Oh God, I just said we're not doing it.
And I'd like to learn it from with my wife. Actually today happens to be my second year's anniversary of my wedding, but she's crying in Korea and I'm doing presentation. Actually really crying. And I'd like to learn it this Saturday, and I'd like to learn it in Carlton, Washington, and I'm 34 years old, and I'm going with my wife, and I'm living in One Microsoft Way, Redmond. I'm a homeless in America, and put in the Microsoft.com. Yes. Then the reservation is made, and if you refresh the IE, you will find that the workflow is just started with the item creation. And you can also find the stage name we use is exposed in the workflow status column here. And I know, as a customer, I know that I need to wait the event coordinator to take some action. He can approve or reject for me. So the task runtime behavior will be demoed by Sam. So back to Sam.
Great. Thank you, Jonghwa. So the workflow started off, and as you remember, it's gone off and created a task on the event coordinators. The event coordinator this time was a group that had a bunch of different users inside of it. And just to reemphasize what Jonghwa already talked about, with his selection, it made a single task on each member, right? We could have made it on one task on the entire group, but for this scenario, we'd had one on every member. So I should hopefully be getting an email. Oh yeah, and the email I'll be getting is the one that Jonghwa already sent out. So while that, waiting for that email to eventually pop up, I'm just gonna spend some time and talk a bit more about what kind of scenarios we've enabled within that. Just to clear up a couple things that wanna explain a bit more. Inside of that task dialogue, you saw how Jonghwa was talking about the different outcomes that are available. In the past in 14, for those of you who are aware, when you created a new task action, it always created a brand new content type every time you added a task action, right? That's no longer the case in 2013. What we do is that you have a single task content type, and any task action can reference any other content type you want. So we have one out of the box, and by default, your task action will reference that. But if you want to create a different task action with different outcomes, You create a content type, and then your different task actions will just reference the other content type. This makes it a lot easier for you guys, so you don't have to have all these different task content types just randomly appearing every time you add a task action to your workflow. All right, so I've got that email. It looks like it came. And I see that I have, remember, I'm business, the event coordinator now, guy. And I see that there is a task that I need to take advantage, I need to see. So I'm going to go ahead, take a look at this. Now, I could have all my information within my task if I want to. And I see a bunch of information, in fact. But I need to also go and actually look at this task. So I clicked on the link. That's going to bring up IE. And I see the task itself. There's a bunch of information here that I could add more if I want to, that Jonghwa could have added when he was a developer. But instead of actually adding all the information here, we have, anyways, a related items link from which I can just directly click on and look at the actual event itself, or the item itself. In this case, I'm looking at it, it looks okay, Jonghwa is coming, he's 34, two people, I see what day is coming, and I'm pretty sure we're free at that time of the day. So I'm going to go back to my task, it looks okay, I'm going to edit it, and you'll see right down here, oh, by the way, this task form was auto-generated for us when we added that task action. In fact, your task forms will always be auto-generated for you, even when you create a new content type. And what we auto-generate is these buttons here as well. So if you have different options or different outcomes here, we'll auto-generate these options down here. So by the out of the box here, we have just two outcomes, approve or reject. So I'm just going to hit approve in this case. And that's going to go ahead and finish off that task and spin off the workflow. Now, normally at this moment in time, the workflow will go to sleep. Remember, the workflow is supposed to go to sleep and wait until 5 days before the event. But in this case, since we don't want to sit here for 5 days, Jonghwa here has made it so that the event that he went has happened closer than 5 days, so the workflow won't sleep. It's actually going to go straight to the next stage. And it's gone and actually called that web service. It's gone into that HTTP web service and called that weather. It's grabbing that weather information, putting it into that table, and then it's going into Bing, getting driving directions from the customer's home to the event location, sticking in that table, putting in that email, and sending off that email to the customer and the event coordinator. And that should all be happening, and he should have gotten that email by now.
Not yet.
And he will get that email very soon. But at the same time, what else can I talk about? So, oh, you got it. Great. I don't have to talk anymore. So I'm going to switch it now to back to Jonghwa, who's now going to show you what that email looks like.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, it always takes some time to get the email, so we are very worried about it. And we now have it. So this is an email we created in the course of the demo. If you look at it, it shows the right information I needed. So the date and people and the map and a weather information. And I can see that the weather is a little bit cloudy, but it has a bright color icon. So I'm very relieved and I'm very happy to enjoy my lessons this Saturday. And now I'm back to the site administrator role and show you some more tips and interesting things about the workflow. So if you go to the workflow, you know that you are finished with this workflow now. What you need to do is might be, depending on which company you are working with, you might need to document this workflow. So to do that, let's assume we have a documentation template which requires you to add some high-level diagram and some workflow logic in it. To do that, you just go to the task-based designer, copy everything, and you can just paste it. And then the sentence will be just pasted into the document. And in the high-level diagram, it is the same. You just need to go to the visual diagram. And as you can guess, it is almost the same with the visual. So you can just copy the high-level diagram right into the template. And thank you. And the other thing you might need to do is to find a reusability of this workflow. As I showed you before, the site has actually very similar list, starting from skydiving or something like that. And if you find some reusability in your workflow, what you need to do is just create a list workflow. And you can just copy everything and paste it right into the workflow. It has a very good and basic information kept in your workflow, but you need to modify a little bit because you just changed the list. But everything is well kept, and you can just start from it. It will save a lot of time for you. That's all I have for this demo, and thank you for enjoying. But we have some more slides and very good important slides to go, so I will return my control back to Sam.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Donghua.
I always love, you know, I can always tell when I'm with an actual Sharp SPD crowd because they clap with copy and paste and looping, right? Anyone who's used ever Notepad won't be like, what are you clapping about, right? But anyone who's ever used SharePoint Design knows why copy and paste is also amazing. So anyways, all right, let's go back over here. And I'm going to move on with our slides. We're very close to being done here. I just want to go over a couple things here. I'm going to go pretty fast, actually. So what were the big features that we showed you today? Now, we didn't get to show you all of our features, obviously, but I'm going to have a quick recap here in terms of the big features, along with some ones that you might have that we didn't get to show you as well. This list still is obviously not the full list as well, but here's some big high levels in terms of what's big and what's new. Where's my clicker? I have no clicker. All right. So first off, we've made a lot of improvements within Text-Based Designer so that you can do obviously the copy and paste and stuff like that. And obviously, we've also added the brand new Visual Designer, which helps do a lot of things visually and collaboratively between different folks. Stages, big new one here. Now you don't have to make linear workflows. Everyone who knows SharePoint Designer knows that you had to make linear workflows that go from top to bottom. Now with stages, you don't have to do that. Your workflows can better follow the processes within your organization. Call Web Service, big emphasis here. You can now finally extend your workflows beyond the confines of just SharePoint. You can, as we've shown here, you can reach out into different systems quickly and easily without having to go into Visual Studio and make some sort of custom action or activity. Copy and paste, a big popular feature, obviously, right? Ability now to copy and paste your different actions within the Text-Based Designer. By the way, you can copy and paste within the Visual Designer as well. You can copy any action within there and paste it anywhere, paste it somewhere else. All of the data is stored within the shape, so you can copy and paste your actions anywhere as well. Looping, great thing. You can do looping in two different ways. You can loop either with stages, where you just go back to a previous stage or to the current stage if you want to, or you can use the two new loop constructs that we've enabled. Complex data types, dictionary data types, a brand new feature that's very useful. Not only great for using, collecting, and storing your web service data, but if you have an array of data, right? Data, you have a bunch of data sets that you don't know how many entries there may be. You can use the complex dictionary variable type to store that array of data. Assign a task. This here now, we know tasks are a very important part of many different processes. As such, we've dedicated two different actions now. One to quickly make a simple task on one person, and another one which Donghua showed you, which was to create more complex processes and approval points within your workflow. Next, we have the enhanced portability, the WSP. Zhenghua didn't show it here, but you can actually now port your workflows from site to site using by packaging up your workflows with WSP. In 14, you can only do that with reusable workflows. In 2013, you can do that for site, list, any workflow type within SharePoint Designer. And of course, you can also do it with the Visual Designer as well. Remember from SharePoint Designer, I could export out that VSDX file, it's a Visio file, email it off to any somewhere else, or just reopen it up in any other site collection, and it'll bring in all the workflow data just like you saw before. So two new ways to move your workflows from site to site to site. Of course, when you do that, you still have probably to do some hookups, right? Remember that. Next, supportability with classic 2010 workflows. For those of you who saw Mauricio's workflow session, you'll remember that 2013 workflows are a distinct and different entity from 2010 workflows. This means that you cannot use a 2010 action inside of a 2013 workflow, right? So this may bring up scenarios where you're like, hey, I need to use my old 2010 workflow action for something inside of a new workflow, right? So to enable this scenario, what we've done is we've created a brand new interoperability action. What this does is that you can stick this action, which is, it's basically start a list workflow or start a site workflow action. And what it does, it allows you to call in and start up a 2010 workflow. You can pass parameters into that 2010 workflow. That 2010 workflow can execute any old actions you have and then return back a bunch of information, which you could then use in your new 2013 workflow. So this helps out if you have any legacy stuff that you want to continue to use. Next, app level. We have the ability now to set to have an app step, which allows you to have certain actions, whatever actions are exist within there, will re-execute at the app level. What this means is that you can actually give your app permissions that are distinct from the initiators, right? So if you want certain things to happen at the app level, you use this new app step to let those actions execute at the app permission. Parallel block, we didn't get to show this in the demo, but we have new properties within that to help better refine and control how your parallel actions take place. And of course, we have full integration now with Project Web Server. For those of you who are project administrators, I highly recommend you go to the session tomorrow at 5 p.m., same thing here. Myself and Kia will be doing a session on how to use SharePoint Designer for project workflows. Overall, we have nearly 50 new and improved action and features this release of SharePoint Designer. It's a big release for us. We spend a lot of time improving on it and trying to understand what scenarios that you guys care about within your workflow world. In general, here's a quick thing. Here are the big related slides or sessions you guys may be interested in. The two in green have already taken place. They were done by our other partner team and deal much more with the lower level understanding of workflows. They took place this today. And the two in red are happening tomorrow, both at the same time, unfortunately. But one, which is the custom actions and activity, which another SharePoint Designer PM will be doing. And then the other one, which is the project workflows, which I'll be doing same time here. And of course, the hands-on lab. We have two hands-on labs that's available for you guys. Highly recommend you guys go ahead and take a look at these. Go ahead and try it and use it. See if you have any questions on it as well, right? If you have any questions about it, go ahead and come to us afterwards and ask us. Resources and references, a ton of stuff. Our blog, we try and update the blog with new information every now and then. Come on there and ask us if you have any questions. At the same time, we have MSDN and TechNet. And of course, download it. Download SharePoint Designer 2013. It's available. It's free. It's available right now. Go ahead, take a look at it, play with it, let us know, give us feedback, and we're more than happy to continue the discussion. And with that, we are done, and I'm going to open up the questions. Thank you all for coming. Questions. All right, let's start from the guy who's standing up. Yeah, if you guys want,